So often when we contemplate the passion and death of our Lord on this Palm Sunday and really throughout Holy Week, we almost always are overwhelmed and overcome, if we really think about it closely, the absolute physical brutality that Jesus Christ endured in his passion. In fact, one of the reasons why many persons cannot or will not watch a film like, for example, The Passion of the Christ, is they will uniformly tell you, I can't just take it. It's just all too much. Now, in order to numb ourselves to the physical brutality, we have, over 2,000 years of Christian history, adorned our churches and even our 14, 16, and 18 carat gold necklaces with crucifixes that are very sanitized, very clean, very nice and neat. They're pretty. I always shudder when people say, oh, that crucifix is so pretty. I think there's nothing pretty about that. If you really knew what happened. And again, this is why many people cannot watch The Passion of the Christ. They just can't do it. Or they'll say, I can't watch it every year. Maybe once every 5 years, because the physicality is so overwhelming to us, which makes sense on a certain level because by nature we're sensate beings. So the first thing that we immediately notice in the world around us are those things that affect the five senses. And yet, in the tradition of the church, especially when you look at the first three centuries of early Christian writings, by the first three or four, five generations of Catholic bishops, writing about the Passion in the aftermath of the composition of the Gospels, they will almost uniformly tell you that as absolutely terrible that the physical suffering was for Jesus, it actually paled in comparison to his moral suffering. Now, what do I mean by moral suffering? When you hear the word moral, usually you think of good versus bad, or evil versus virtue, vice versus virtue, for instance. But in a wider sense, the word moral almost always pertains to things of the soul. It's called moral suffering. So on the cross, we look upon Christ's physical suffering, but we are so quick to dismiss the even greater and deeper and more profound level of his suffering, which was not physical, as terrible as that was, horrific as it was, crushing as it was. We overlook the suffering of Christ and his soul. And I'll just point out the two major dimensions of this suffering. The first dimension of the suffering that he endured in his soul was his foreknowledge of the futility of his act on the cross. What do I mean? Christ knew. He knew from the cross for how many millions and perhaps billions of people throughout history that would follow that this act would mean nothing. Zero. And it's not because his suffering lacked anything. It's not because his suffering was imperfect. It's not as if he didn't love enough. It's because of a failure of human response to his invitation to love. I don't know about you, but I'm sure many of you, like me, have been in projects or ventures where somewhere along the way, or maybe down the road, you found out that all of the work that you put into the project or the venture, instead of really being part of the main text of the narrative, was just a footnote. And you think to yourself, boy, had I known that, I would not have put in the kind of effort that I did, thinking that my part of the project was so essential to this being pulled off. I mean, there's a natural sense of us. It's like, why bother? Why bother? If I know in advance that this is really not going to be that important, why bother? And yet, Jesus, fully knowing that his act would be futile for those who would not accept him, he still loved us to the end. He did not hold back an ounce of his existence in dying on the cross for us. Only God can love in this kind of way. Because as I just pointed out, the normal human reaction, knowing in advance that your investment is going to be futile, just say, I need to direct resources elsewhere. I need to pay more attention to other things in my life. I have other concerns. But Jesus said, no, I will pour out everything, even for the few who accept me. And yet, as terrible as that is, the second and worst part of Jesus's suffering morally in his soul was the complete sense of total isolation, total abandonment, total rejection, total loneliness. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you abandoned me? In his humanity, Christ never for a moment, or in his divinity, Christ never for a moment lost communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But in his humanity, no one in history ever suffered rejection, loneliness, abandonment, and a total sense of isolation than Christ Jesus. Imagine what it must have been like as God on the cross to know that your creatures, these mere mortals, were killing their creator. Imagine what that must have been like. Christ brought them into existence. They have no existence outside of his mind. And yet, what are they doing? They're killing him. That isolation, that abandonment, that rejection. And folks, you know, it's interesting because on Good Friday in particular, we will again read the Passion in its entirety. I gave you a break this morning. And the climax of the event is when the soldier takes the lance, St. Longinus takes the lance and pierces Christ's heart with the spear, and out comes blood and water. We know the scene very well. So isn't it interesting? The fathers of the church say, you see, he was pierced physically, but he was pierced morally. Because he just didn't die of a thrust through heart with a piece of metal. He died of a broken heart because of his moral suffering. And don't we know this, in fact, to really be the truth of human existence? That so much more painful, so much more enduring, so much more profoundly painful for us is the pain of a broken heart, not a broken bone. Broken hearts stay broken a lot longer for most people than the physical pieces of our body, which will heal over time. And the most difficult thing about a broken heart is that you can't live outside of your skin. It follows you everywhere you go. It filters every experience that you have. It colors every moment of your life. And this is why it's so powerful that when people are depressed or suffering from anxiety, most often than not, we can tell. Because they manifest bodily signs that something is not right interiorly. And Jesus entered into all of that. And thanks be to God, emerged victorious. So as we go forward through this Holy Week, I just ask you to consider this dimension of Christ's suffering, which greatly supersedes any of his physical suffering. Again, I speak of his moral suffering, both in the futility of his action because of those who would not accept, and the isolation, rejection, and abandonment of his broken heart. May this love for us cause hardened hearts in this week throughout the church to come home to church, to confess sins, to make right with God, and to accompany him to his death. Do not leave Jesus lonely this week. He, the alone, waits here for us night and day to be accompanied by him, to be kept company by him, so that he may love us as only he can. We adore thee, O Christ, and we bless thee, because by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world.